Welcome to the May Community Development Block Grant Regional Review Committee meeting. Should we just say our names really briefly for the recording and then hand it over to the chair?
Sure.
I'm Christy Dahlberg. I am the AOG staff.
Kendall Thomas, Tooele County Commissioner.
Roland has the Morgan County Council.
Lance Evans, Morgan County Planner.
Sean Wilkinson, Weaver County Community Development.
Scott Hess, Community Economic Development.
Mark Allen, Mayor, Washington Terrace.
And on the phone we have...
Rochelle Custer, Tooele County Community Development.
Thanks, Rochelle.
Sure. Okay. Welcome, everyone. This is a nice office. I'm impressed.
You'll have to take a tour after.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Our first item on the agenda is to approve the February minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Okay, motion by Mayor Allen. Do I have a second? All right.
Kendall Thomas.
Second by Kendall Thomas. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, item number two is a state CDBG retreat update. Christy.
Thank you, Chair. So last week, Mayor Allen and I headed up to Ogden and we had a CDBG annual retreat that we have every year. Generally at this meeting is when we get the final CDBG budget from the state. It took a little bit longer this year with all of the federal government shutdown and HUD being shut down and everything like that. I've included in your packet an agenda of all the things we talked about at the retreat. It was a lot of other planning resources and state initiatives that are going on through the Community Development Office. Also, next in line in your packet, we have the final allocation for all of the seven AOGs and also a 2020, it says 2019, but it should be 2020 funding year program cycle for CDBG.
Should this book be 2020?
Yeah. And I wrote on my handout, but at the top there, the state ended up getting $5.3 million, and then we end up getting $950,000+, which is about $30,000 more than we had previously planned for, which is good. The only project we have to fund that is eligible to receive those funds would be for Marriott Slaterville, who applied for a two-year grant. So we can pretty much almost fully fund them, and then we won't have to give them hardly any of our next year's allocated money, which is good news for us. So that, and if you see anything on this agenda from the retreat that you're interested in, just let me know and I can send you those materials.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I got, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, item number three is the revolving loan fund discussion, and Scott Hess will lead that.
Well, we're just screaming through the meeting. That's fast.
That was only supposed to be like that.
So I didn't print anything out. I just wanted to discuss a few, some possible uses, and something that this organization has been considering for the last 2 years. So under Lanice Davenport, as the Economic Development Director, she wanted to consider a revolving loan fund. Those can be funded by Economic Development Administration funds or Community Development Block Grant Administration funds. And so we're interested in exploring this through CDBG. The reason you're hearing about it now is that we would ask, or we're asking the RRC, if you would support an allocation of up to $50,000 to be used to study a revolving loan fund program. So we would look at it as a two-part study. So part one would be scoped and contracted separately. That would be benefits and impacts to the organization. The portion of the study would be used really to answer the question of whether or not we want to continue with it. And then help us understand operations, impacts to staff time, risks to the organization, benefits to the community, and potentially some targeted uses of those funds. And if we, at the conclusion of that, so I expect that would be probably a third of the cost of the allocation is probably what roughly what that would cost to the consultant to help us think through those things. Pending the outcome of part one of the study, if we want to move forward, part two of the study would actually be establishment of the process and procedures for the RLF program. So that could be potentially establishment of a nonprofit organization, application materials, banking processes, you know, all of the things that are involved actually in operating the RLF program. So it wouldn't be $50,000 spent right up front. It would be some portion of that scoped out, spent over the next year, and then we would assess where we're at and then potentially move forward. So just for your background information, a number of the Association of Governments use or have RLF fund programs, and some counties do. So Davis County created a business development loan fund program back in the 80s using an initial CDBG allocation. And then the most current one, or our closest current one, is in 2009, Mountain Land Association of Governments to the South used an initial CDBG award. And they had additional, the Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds from 2009 post-recession, so their CDBG allocation was larger in the year that they asked for this. But they received seed funding of just over $500,000 to establish a nonprofit, or sorry, to establish the fund. And then what they did is they established a nonprofit organization for the funds to be repaid into. So CDBG related revolving loan fund programs would be small loans. They offer $10,000 to $50,000 loans to small businesses that would impact low and moderate income businesses the first go around, basically the first allocation of those monies. And then as the funds are paid back into this nonprofit, it decouples the money from the HUD requirements. So you really only have to meet those low and moderate income strict requirements that match CDBG's regulations the first time. And then once those monies are paid back into the separate nonprofit with its own board that administers the fund, then they can go out and loan those out to whatever business they want to, regardless of whether or not they're hiring and maintaining low and moderate income jobs. They do say that they continue to track the metrics HUD needs for the CDBG-related inquiries, but it's been very infrequent from the state that they've come back and asked for a report regarding the RLF activities. But she said their funds are Main Street style, so you know, banks, or sorry, the, what is it, Baker something, candlestick maker, like the, you know, Main Street small business is what they typically fund to, and those typically are hiring low and moderate income businesses anyways. But the like flip side of that is I think Salt Lake County's RLF fund only invests in tech businesses, which are typically high paying jobs and people coming out of school who aren't necessarily low moderate income when they're getting those high paying wage jobs. So you could direct the funds however you want. They have continued to look at funding opportunities, so MAG, to keep talking about them, they've received a few American Express CRA fund grants. These are $25,000 grants that come into the program and help bolster the program. And then every 3 years, they've gone back to CDBG for capital and infusements of money at a request of $150,000 each. So the nonprofit organization that now runs the RLF applies back and just competes regionally with every other application. So there's a few questions, you know, to answer here today is, if you're interested in exploring this, if it meets the RRC's criteria for economic development and job creation, and if you'd like to essentially carve off $50,000 of next year's budget. So we wouldn't be able to do this activity until we would be scoping it about this time next year, because the decision would be made by this committee prior to allocating, or prior to holding the first public hearing and the how to apply workshop. You would move forward with all of your posting requirements and notification to applicants at the end of this year that would say, we're expected to have approximately $950,000. $50,000 have been, you know, held aside for this particular use, so that everybody's competing regionally for the remainder of funds.
So this doesn't have to compete with the other ones. We just say we're doing this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could self-allocate some small portion of the monies, and then say, you know, 2021 comes around and we decide this is a great idea, we want to invest in this, then we would likely, as WFRC, apply to the committee, well, apply to CDBG program for some amount of infusement of initial funds, which would then compete regionally. So there's no guarantee, I guess, that you would have to fund that, but it depends kind of on the outcome of the study. That if the outcome of this study were positive, you could look at it as we may be allocating, is it $200,000 twice in a row, 2 years, up to $400,000? Is that the maximum grant award you could get?
For public infrastructure projects.
Okay. So we'd have to look at how our rating and ranking criteria really isn't set up to have us come and say we'd like $400,000 or $500,000 out of the program. But I think pending the outcome of the study, we would have more information on whether this is good, bad, or indifferent. So I'm entering this pretty agnostic, like just want to understand it and know that, you know, there are certainly risks to us. There's loans that default. This puts you in an entirely different bracket of tracking finances than we currently are with the program. But if it's something that you all are interested in, then we can explore it.
And then just to supplement really quick, the papers that I gave you are from our 5-year CDBG consolidated plan. So if you look at our rating and ranking, our policies and procedures, number 13 says the RRC may approve regional CDBG set-asides under the following conditions. One, they are consistent with the region's consolidated plan. And two, they are approved prior to the how to apply workshop, which is what we're doing now. So those three pages I gave you are from our consolidated plan
here
that kind of has done a economic development assessment in each of the three counties that are eligible for CDBG funds through WFRC Small City Program and kind of outlined the needs for economic opportunities in those counties. So that would be consistent with our consolidated plan, saying, you know, these are economic development needs that we've assessed and would be good, beneficial, we think, for these counties. And also one other thing, this 5-year plan, it's on its last year, so the next 5-year plan will be put out next March. So if these are no longer consistent with your priorities for your communities, then that's something we also need to talk about, and will be updated this next year.
Okay, questions or comments on this?
When's the next RRC meeting? It's prior to the How to Apply workshop?
August.
Okay, so this is basically the information item for you. August would be the formal action, right? It happens prior to the How to Apply workshop. So August is our chance for this next round for 2020. If you're interested in it. So we can explore this more, provide more resources back to help you, you know, have a more informed decision. Honestly, I don't really know what I don't know about it, and I think the study would help us understand it. It is a lot of money, but there's a chance that we would spend $20,000 or $25,000 of that money and determine this isn't worth us doing, in which case the additional funds would just roll back into the program for allocation at the end of the year.
We do have the ability to take action today. It is on the agenda. Do we want to wait to do that until our next meeting? Do we need more information, or are we comfortable giving direction one way or the other today? Any thoughts?
I'll be honest with you, I'm totally lost. I don't deal with it every day,
yeah.
So
the way the revolving loan fund would work, CDBG is just a direct grant. So you ask for $100,000 for water sewer infrastructure, we give you $100,000, you put it in, and that cuts ties with that program. So the revolving loan fund would be a small business, a bookkeeper, or a small attorney, or a bike shop comes to you and says, comes to the fund. So say we have the revolving loan fund, they come to us, they apply for $50,000. Yeah, it would be really the board. Sorry, this is just more how like the revolving loan fund works. And we are then, well, the committee that runs that RLF is then the bank. So they run money, or they would loan the money out at, they're not real favorable rates. I mean, these are people who can't get traditional bank financing. So they're high interest rate, typically short-term payback loans. So they're a little higher risk. And so they'd be like 10 or 12% interest rate loans for 3 years. And then they pay that back. And then that money just builds in its own account. So you have an initial fund from CDBG of $100,000 or $200,000 that then gets to sit over in another area and get program income and roll on itself. So Davis County's fund had an initial $500,000 or $600,000 that created the fund in the 80s. And now they're like a $3 million revolving loan fund program, business development loan fund program. So over the last 30 years, they've had some really good wins and they have had some losses, but for the most part, the interest earned paid back into the fund has been able to grow the program and then continue to loan out to other businesses.
So, okay, so you're saying Davis County did it?
Yep.
So they're now the lending institution?
Yeah, so Davis County proper is
who's the lending institution you're talking about here?
We would be, it would be a separate board, a nonprofit created outside of WFRC.
Although, and I think the way MAG has done it, because MAG has done this also, is that the seed money that came from CDBG, I think the RRC was played a role in determining the governance body for the RLF.
So you in this capacity, through this $50,000 study money, basically, would help direct what the governing structure of that loan fund would look like. And then it would be eventually decoupled out of the RRC. So the loans wouldn't be another item that we would do as the rating and ranking committee. I think after we determine that a revolving loan fund is something we want to do, then those monies would be allocated to another body, another governing board, and then they would maintain those funds. So it's our decision to decide if we want to set right now up to $50,000 aside to meet what we're saying are our economic desires as a rating and ranking committee for this program.
Did you have a question? If not, I have enough.
Yeah.
Go ahead, answer, then I'm going to listen because I don't know enough about it yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where's our money coming from? So we spend, you're saying we want to spend 50 grand.
Mm-hmm.
To do a study to right. see if it's feasible.
Yep. So that, right? that 50 will come off of
I got that part.
Yeah, next year's allocation.
My part is, where's the revolving loan fund? Where's that money coming from?
So in 2021, so next year we spend $50,000 of this, right?
To say, yes, this is a cool idea, let's go with it.
Right, so spend a year studying it. And then in 2021, we would apply to you like we're a water sewer infrastructure project.
Who would?
I think initially it'd be WFRC. So initially it'd be our organization, WFRC, would apply to the small cities program to be the recipient of those monies.
Although so I don't even know if we'd
have to be the recipient of some of this 950.
Right.
Although you guys do have the ability to approve a set aside. So I don't think that's, you know,
okay, so
just
I guess
limited
you could
to 1 year. We could set aside 50,000 again, the impression I'm under.
Yep. So you could either set monies aside, or we could, or I think the MPO would be the applying agency that would come in, and then WFRC, if it were awarded, would receive an award of so many dollars, and they would begin loaning loans out that meet CDBG's requirements, which is all tied to low and moderate income persons. So you'd have to basically loan to a business that's going to hire somebody who can prove they were low or moderate income, or the business itself has to be in an eligible area like West Wendover or something, right? Which is an entitlement area. And then when they pay that money back, so they get a $10,000 loan to, you know, seed money for something, they pay that money back and the money is paid into a new nonprofit, a new fund, like a third party basically, which then decouples that initial money from the low and moderate income requirements. So as the first full grant gets loaned out and repaid back, the money is effectively like scrubbed out of HUD's requirements, the CDBG requirements, in which case they have a lot more freedom on who they can loan to and how to operate those loans.
Okay, so we want to take, we're going to request, we're going to do 50,000 for the study. Then if we say this is a cool thing,
yeah.
Then we're going to take and say, hey, out of this 950,
right.
We would like to take 150,000 of it and put it in the RLF.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That money coming from that fund is restricted.
Correct.
But now we're going to borrow it over here.
And loan it out. Right.
Once it gets paid back over here, mm-hmm. these restrictions are lifted.
Correct. Yep. So it's kind of a one-time tracking mechanism for those funds, which would last 1 to 6 years. It depends on the term loan or the term length of the loan.
So my next question is, what has happened to generate this discussion?
I think Lanice Davenport, when she was the CED director, was just looking for how do we grow the resources to our local communities in economic development specifically. So the Economic Development Administration, the fund that I help local communities apply for, is restricted generally to entrepreneurship, and then it's almost all infrastructure grants. So water, sewer, broadband, anything underground that helps a business locate in a city. But there's that gap financing need for small businesses, for other, you know, people who can't get traditional bank financing, essentially. And she was looking for ways to help our communities, our five counties, small businesses in that way. So it's just an idea that other areas have done and we wanted to explore. So again, I don't think Lanice was really pushing that we should operate a revolving loan fund. It was, should we operate a loan fund? And this is one way to explore how to do it.
And also, up until last year, our regional project priorities that we have in our rating and ranking criteria, economic development was, I think, the highest scoring activity. And the intent on that was to increase the community's tax base, which is really why economic development is on this list in the first place, because only MPOs and AOGs are eligible to do economic development activities with CDBG dollars. But since that had never happened, we lowered that to the lowest rating and ranking priority. But before that, it was, I believe, the highest, with the intent to increase a community's tax base.
So originally, it was maybe in response to our own RRC's priorities, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember that discussion. Okay. Yeah. That was driven partly by Commissioner Huber from Huber County.
So what's the risk?
The risk initially is that your program next year will be $50,000 less. After that, I don't fully know the risks. You know, I don't know what the revolving loan fund program puts WFRC at risk of.
But other the study than I know
that
us.
Yeah, that's what the study would tell us. I know that loans default, there's financial risk as far as how our audits are done if we don't, you know, if we screw the program up, essentially, if whoever's running that RLF doesn't do it or operate it correctly. But initially, the risk is really that are you meeting your regional priorities and how the local communities who can apply for CDBG dollars would react to having the program be shortened by $50,000 to explore an RLF. I think that's your initial risk right now.
So I think what we need to think about is, what are our priorities? Do we want to prioritize increasing tax bases and economic development, or are things we're already funding a higher priority to this group? Public infrastructure, utility infrastructure, and then we don't have anything funded right now, but potentially housing projects.
Yeah. That's my concern, is we're shifting away from a lot of capital projects that we have plenty of.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the economic development aspect.
Yeah.
They do have other avenues to get money, and they are a business, so
right.
where's the priority for these funds?
Certainly.
Rochelle, from Mountain Twillow, what do you think?
I think it would be very beneficial here. We're still growing our economic development in our community, and I think it would be beneficial. I don't know that it hurts to study it and see what the overall outcome would be for the whole WFRC RRC area.
So like, Michelle, is that what it is?
Rochelle.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, you're saying that having the revolving loan fund would be beneficial for economic development in Twill, is that correct?
Yeah, I believe it would be beneficial for our community. I don't know about, you know, everybody else's community. We're not the only ones involved in this.
Well, no, I'm just kind of trying to piece this all together. So how does that affect your development as far as these funds going for infrastructure projects and that would benefit the entire county as opposed to just an individual business?
Right, and that's a very fair question. Right now, we're in a period of extreme growth, and we have 76% of our population that commutes for work, and we're really actively working on trying to increase our economic development and retain some of those jobs here within our community.
So, and I'm not trying to pick on you because I'm kind of correlating it with Morgan. The biggest problem that Morgan's got is all of our tax dollars are spent on the Wasatch Front when people are coming home from work.
Yep, same with ours.
And so, how do you stop that? Because people in general, if they can save a nickel on a loaf of bread and a dime on a gallon of milk, they're stopping it on their way home, regardless if they're at Twill or not. And that's the problem that we've got, is they're going to stop at Smith's in Farmington or Walmart, regardless if we've got another grocery store or business in the Mountain Green area.
So the hope would be that this revolving loan fund would help increase the economic businesses within the community and keep some of those people here, not commuting to Salt Lake, therefore keeping some of their tax dollars here.
So you're talking about as far as keeping the people employed in Twilla as opposed to in Salt Lake?
Right. Correct. Yep, that's what our shift has been lately, is focusing on that.
Well, I mean, because you're similar to Morgan, where the majority of Morgan County does the same thing. We commute out of the valley to work, and that's what we've had multiple developers tell us. Until we get houses, the businesses are not going to be sustainable for that reason. So
right.
my question is, if we do this, and I'm just asking, how do we stop that bleed for us into Weber Davis County and you into Salt Lake County?
I don't know that there's any guarantee there. It's kind of a gamble on what economic development will come from it and what jobs we can retain within our communities.
Well, if we don't try something, like to explore this study, we know the bleed's going to continue.
Yeah, and being a bedroom community is very costly.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Thanks, Rochelle.
I hear you.
You're welcome.
Well, my thought is you're not going to stop the bleed, you know, with a revolving loan fund and loaning out $10,000 to $50,000. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to get these mom and pop places that never had the opportunity, maybe, to get funds and to build in downtown Morgan, mm-hmm. a little shop that is convenient for a lot of people, and it may employ a few high school kids, and it may employ, you know, but it'll be something cool, and you know, and it'll be kind of neat for your community. Same with, you know, Twilla, you know, it's just, but it's not going to build a,
yeah.
you know, it's not going to build a manufacturing.
Right.
You know, firm that.
Well, and even if it helped put a small mom and pop business in a currently vacant space,
exactly.
and help beautify and bring
yeah.
revitalization to the downtown, that may in turn bring some bigger players to come look at us.
Exactly, exactly. I agree 100%. I've heard about this for many years. It's been more than 2 years. I heard this several years ago, and I wasn't too excited about it. But I didn't know anything about it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I remember Lenny saying, "Well, let's, you know, we'll look at it and talk about it." But I think it's—I don't know—I the more I hear, the more I really like it, and we'll seed it with this $50,000. Well, just to explore it.
Right.
But then we'll seed it. I don't imagine we'll seed that with more than $200,000 to $400,000, and then we'll be done. We'll be done investing in this, right?
Right. Yeah. You see.
And Scott, yeah. Does this become a self-sustaining body where the administration is funded by the payback?
Yep. That's the thought, is that it just builds and self-sustains itself. And MAG, Mountain Land Association of Governments, has come back and asked for additional funds every 3 years, but I think those have been on kind of growth of the program and proof of concept. So then, you know, maybe 3 or 5 years later, that entity comes back and applies for additional CDBG funds to grow the program, which again, for that first year, have the requirements of the low moderate income and then decouple the funds. But it's really a slow rolling over time growth thing. Because I think after you loan out all those funds, and you probably stagger them, you know, you don't loan everything out in 1 year, you stagger them year one, year two, year three, or whatever, so that as your program income comes back, 3 or 4 years down the road, you have funds that have been repaid to then loan back out.
So and then those funds pay for the administration of the project. They're not going to come to the CDBG board yearly to pay those though.
Right, and that's another question that I don't know. Like at Davis County, the administration of their business development loan fund is partially paid by some of that, like the same way a brokerage fee works on the loans, but for the most part, they're just staff of the county. So it's other duties as assigned. It's part of being the economic development director of the county. One of your responsibilities is managing the revolving loan fund. So that would be a question that the study would answer, is for WFRC, what's the staffing of this look like? Is it additional monies need to be put into staff time? Are there monies that could come out of the revolving loan fund? I don't know.
Do we know what MAG is?
Well, MAG has, Michelle Carroll is my same position, and she actually has the same duties that Christy has. So she does Economic Development District and CDBG, and Christy does CDBG and some of Transportation Land Use Connection programs. So the CDBG portion's a part-time, and I think her revolving loan fund is a part-time or EDD, and so they've just built her staffing different than we have internally.
She administers the RLF with a governing body.
I guess what percent of the RLF fund is admin costs?
Is paying it? I'm not sure.
We need to
know. Yeah.
I could
find that out, and we could come back. I personally, this isn't something that I was thinking today. You guys would make a decision on. Yeah, and so I think those are real. That's a really good question to answer, and then we would come back in August, be prepared with a little bit more information about the operation of their program.
Good idea.
Okay, so another question.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about higher interest loans.
Uh-huh.
So for a small business loan, what are you talking normal interest would be?
So these guys are saying, so this is right off of MAG's Mountain Land Small Business Loan Fund website, and it says, interest rates will not exceed 5 points above the Wall Street Journal prime rate fixed over the long term. So what's prime right now?
I'm more than
3.385, 4.25, something like that. Prime rate and home loan rates are typically very, very close to one another, so your mortgage interest rate is pretty much prime rate. So they're looking at 9.5% loans right now. Now, a bank loan, a small business loan at a bank, if you're a AAA rated, high bond rating business, is going to be, you know, from 5 to 12% or something. So not that dissimilar than this. But if you're a brand new mom and pop shop in Morgan, you know, Morgan County, Morgan City, and you're untested, you don't know if this thing's going to go or not, then the bank may not be willing to loan you $25,000 to buy a whatever, you know, ice cream making machine or something. And that's where they might come to us. Can we look at as a little higher risk and think, okay, will this go or will this not go for the community? And what's the benefit versus risk of this? And then maybe take out the loan for a small business that the bank might not. The bank might look at those on paper and just say, you know, there's no way we're going to invest in this, or a little tax accountant or something.
Well, and that's part of my question is, if we're really trying to set this up to help the mom and pop stores, but we're keeping our interest rate high how much are we really helping them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, we need to come, you know, kind of in the middle, you know, somewhere. Because a lot of times it's that interest that ends up pushing people over the end on what right. they on what they can afford.
Yeah, that's very true. I think most personal loan rates at a bank, if you were to go out and just ask for like a $10,000 personal loan rate, are in that like 10-12% range. Or, you know, that's, which is half of what a credit card, like take a cash advance on a credit card at 25% interest or something mm-hmm. would be. So I think we would probably fall pretty close to traditional bank financing, but you're not a major bank that's going to lend that specific, like if the credit score isn't this and you're not this number of employees and this gross revenue, like absolutely not. And so I think it just gives you a little bit of flexibility. But again, I've never been a lender.
Yeah.
So.
And this is also is just speculation on my part, but having a higher interest rate is kind of almost protection for the body, you know, if someone defaults on their loan, to kind of make up that difference and make it feasible for us to take on that risk.
Right.
But that's also, I think, something that would come out of the study.
Mm-hmm. And they state, so their purpose of the program is, it's intended to help bridge the gap created by shortfalls in commercial financing. Funds are, this creates permanent long-term jobs within the Mountainland region of Utah by providing gap and startup financing to qualified businesses for eligible activities. And their eligible activities are purchase of machinery or equipment or other fixed assets, a working capital, including inventory, accounts receivable, operating expenses, and labor. And they say for every $25,000 loaned, they must create and or retain one job. And they say 51% of jobs created should be filled by low or moderate income individuals. So they do retain the 51% low moderate income, just in their standard application materials. So it's not going to bring a Procter & Gamble to Morgan County,
no.
But it might put. I think your example is really good, and Rochelle said this too. It might incentivize somebody to utilize a currently closed up shop on Main Street or to invest in a small business in Morgan County instead of looking at it as there's no way I'm ever going to get financing. I'm just going to go to the Ogden Valley and operate my business there. You're going to retain those, you know, a few people in your community locally and then hopefully help some folks just grow in place too, instead of grow up and out of our counties as small businesses often do. Go from a home business to a rented space to, you know, they don't know what the next step is and so they move up and out of the county.
Well, I think you brought up a good question. I can't remember your name.
Lance.
Anyhow, I think you brought up some good questions. Let's get it, identify those and maybe we can send in any other ones we have.
Okay.
Some questions, concerns that we thought about and let's bring it back for our next agenda.
Okay.
Unless there's an urgency to move on.
No. So how much money is out of the RLF program is for administrative costs?
Okay. I wonder if that would be subject to CDBG's state regulations that no more than 10% of any grant can go towards administration. That's something I could.
Well, once it's established and going, how much is it?
Yeah.
I mean, so we've got people that have to run and monitor and do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Is there another question outside of that?
My other big one was just once the fund is established and is decoupled from community development block grant funds, it wouldn't have to be in an entitlement area.
No. Then you could apply. It would apply to the whole WFRC area. The initial grants would not be eligible in Davis County or Salt Lake County. It would be Morgan, Tooele, and Weber County outside of Ogden City.
For the initial
ones, because that's
but then after
per
the initial,
CDBG requirements. And then right after the initial ones, I'm guessing it would follow the AOG boundaries, which is 5 county.
Yeah. But unless they came and asked us for money, we're just out of that.
Right. That's another good question. I don't think that MAG has that issue because they're Utah Summit Wasatch counties. And I think their CDBG is still eligible in all three of those, aren't they? Or is Utah County an entitlement now?
They might have actually dropped out in Utah County.
I'll find out.
So you said, Scott, we would first set aside $50,000, but did you say it may only take $30,000?
Yeah, I don't expect $50,000 is a lot of money for just the study of this.
It seemed like a lot of money.
I don't know. I was going to call a few firms that we work with, Science Public Finance, Lewis Roberts, Birmingham, others that do financial studies, and have them help me scope this. But I'm guessing the first portion, just to answer the question of what the benefits and impacts are and would we want to move forward with this, are going to be like a third of those funds. And then the second third of those funds would be all the legal documents that would actually establish the fund. Because that's where the real staff time or the real time would be, is making applications, putting together the rules, requirements, banking processes, applications, all of the stuff that actually builds a real program. But I would look at it as two pieces. So no obligation to spend all of the money.
Okay, I like that because so like for the whole $50,000, you could really get it up and running.
Exactly.
$50,000 just to answer those questions.
No, at the end of $50,000, I would expect you have a turnkey program. You're ready to go at that point.
Okay. Or at $15,000, we could say,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to work for
right,
our area.
Right, the costs are too high.
And they may come back in the study and say it's not going to work. And
exactly.
And say, okay, we've put $30,000 back into and, you know, well, it cost us $15,000 to $20,000.
You know, this isn't the only program in this area. You've got Salt Lake County has one, Davis County has one. And so it could very well come back that we would either be competing with other funds, and so it's not worth doing, or there are enough other resources in this area. But I think that what's hard about our CDBG and our Association of Governments area is that we have Salt Lake City Economic Powerhouse, and then we have rural portions of Morgan, Tooele, and Weber counties that all compete kind of together in some ways. And so the study almost needs to take into account those two different paradigms, or like, I don't know, levels.
And how did you know, and how would a small business, how would an entrepreneur getting started, how would he know about this fund, I guess?
Yeah, that's another thing that we would have to figure out is how do we
small business, you know, somethings and list. Here's opportunities for you to get some.
Well, there's
money.
The small business development centers, and then you have all of the Davis, you know, the technical colleges. So there would be avenues to advertise this out, after it existed. That's a real good point. I mean, chambers of commerce, but that you have to be engaged in the chamber to hear their communications.
Okay, so who's going to... I just need to make sure I understand what we're doing. The RLM will be regulated by who? By us?
Initially, you would provide guidance on how the RLF would be run.
Okay.
But after that, there'd be a governing structure, which would probably be some form of staff.
There's got to be a parent company.
Yeah, so like the Economic Development District is a part of Wasatch Front Regional Council. That's the other thing I run that helps local communities get federal EDA, Economic Development Administration dollars. So we have our own bylaws. We operate within an interlocal agreement with WFRC, but our board is effectively autonomous from WFRC. So we approve our own strategies for economic development, our own goals for the year, everything. So I would foresee that there'd be a staff person appointed to this, whether that's me or Christy, and that we would have a board of people, likely made up of elected officials around the region, much like our other committees are, is the structure I would foresee. And that one has its own bylaws and interlocal agreement that it all operates under, that's kind of like a sidecar to WFRC. And that's, I mean, CDBG is that way. This committee, in fact, operates that way. It's outside of the umbrella of Wasatch Front Regional Council's purview on the side to administer a specific federal funding program. And I have one of those for EDD, the Economic Development District, and then there'd be one for the RLF. So there'd be a staff person appointed to it and then its own board to run it.
Who's in charge?
Well,
who's the parent?
The board of that organization. It's kind of WFRC, but...
I imagine it would be Scott.
There's no real parent. Like the parent of this organization that we're sitting in right now around this table is HUD. is okay. State HUD, Keith Heaton's group, and Cheryl and the folks over there on the office on 21st Street. But you operate with staff assistants, like your staff person is a WFRC employee. And I think that that's how the RLF would work too, is that there'd be a WFRC staff person, so it would feel like it was housed within WFRC, but the decisions that would be made on funding of the grants that would go out, or the loans that would go out rather, would be done by that board, which would be made up of likely elected officials from around the region.
Yeah, I think any losses or income would be reflected in the organization's budget. Is that right?
Probably. I mean, yeah. It would be a line item of our
in
budget.
The RLF.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the RLF would operate as like a line item in WFRC's budget.
Okay, so my question is, we would be creating the RLF.
Right, a new entity. Yeah.
Okay. So they would basically come to us. They would come back up the line to us because we've got to report to HUD, correct?
At least initial for that initial grant. Yeah. So
okay.
So
we're up, and I'm just asking.
Yeah.
What I'm asking is this something that this organization wants to take on? Is that another responsibility that we want to take on? That's my question.
That's a good question.
Are you asking like this body?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking about normally our grants are for infrastructure for the counties that are involved in this.
Yeah.
Okay. And so my question is, that's what we're mainly doing now. Is this something else we want to put on our table and say, hey, let's create this as another entity? That's my question.
I will ask for Michelle Carroll, what is the rating and ranking committee's involvement after the initial grant goes out to establish the RLF? Because I think that would help us clarify what position you would actually have as the RRC members on how those funds are spent or administered. But you're right. I mean, that really is, that's the whole question. Do we want to create this new animal that's going to
Well, you're smiling and saying yes.
I don't know. I am not smiling.
I'm asking the board, is this something we want to reach out?
Yeah. And I honestly don't have a position on this because it could be really good, it could be just a huge headache, and I don't know.
Well, it's a lot like Rochelle was saying, there's advantages, you know, it can bring in businesses that might not otherwise get a chance to come in, but at the same time we're looking at resources that are being used to improve our infrastructures and stuff to allow more development in the areas. Do we want, and that's my question, we want to take that dollar to put over here, is the offset, you know, worth the loss? That's my question.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So you're going to get some more information and come back to us?
I will.
So in our August meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So everyone's okay that we don't take action today, we move this to the August agenda. And we'll have more discussion to put this back on for action at that office meeting.
You might help me by summarizing what we said here so I can remember.
Yeah.
Right.
So in those minutes,
yeah,
we'll reflect this discussion.
Mm-hmm. 10 pages of minutes.
Yeah. Yep. You got it.
It's to read.
Okay. Item number 4, review and update the rating and ranking criteria.
Thank you, Chair. So I do want to get you guys out of here on time. So I think really quickly, if you look at your rating and ranking general policies that I have for you guys, I'm going to bring to attention some of the items in here that I think we need to pay attention to. And if we have time to quickly clear anything up, then we can do that. If not, this will be, again, something we are still able to do in August. I don't think that most of these items will need a lot of discussion or change, but just things I wanted to bring to your attention. So if we're just flipping through in chronological order, the first major thing that needs to be changed is item number 20, which is RRC membership. Obviously, we got a new committee this last year, so those will be updated to reflect the current growth or the current review committee. And then, so that's all I really had as far as the policies go. So now if you go into your rating and ranking actual criteria, I should have numbered these pages. First, that thing that we come up to is number three, which is the moderate income housing plan. As you guys know, SB 34 has changed a lot of the moderate income housing requirements.
Are you all aware of what that was?
So SB 34 was a moderate income housing modification. It has been something that's been required in a general plan for communities for years and years.
Communities over 10,000.
Is it 10 or 5? I think it's 5.
Five.
Yeah, so, and this is for first, second, third class communities with a population over 5,000 people. They've always been required to do a moderate income housing plan. They were required to report, I believe, biannually. They're now required to report annually, and it did change some requirements of a moderate income housing plan. If you fall in that category of first, second, third class community over 5,000 people population, and you don't have a moderate income housing plan, you will not be eligible for TIF or TTIF funding. So it's really been a big push for a couple of communities who aren't necessarily compliant with the other requirements, which include if you have a transit investment corridor, that could be a BRT route, it could be a front runner station, a track station. If you have one of those things, you're required to pick from a menu of 4 moderate income housing strategies to include in your moderate income housing plan. If you don't have a transit investment corridor, then you are required to choose 3 of those menu items. So it kind of just is encouraging better moderate income housing plan practices and encouraging people to actually look at those plans and implement them rather than, you know, check a box, we have it in our general plan, and now we're done with it. So my main questions for this section are, first of all, the first criteria that gets you 1 point, project results in the development of a moderate income housing plan. It has always been the case that you're required to have a moderate income housing plan to be eligible for CDBG, so that question, I'm wondering if, you know, do we make some sort of exception if you don't have one and you're applying for one through CDBG funds, or
can
I don't
do planning activities through
you can
CDBG?
Do planning activities, yes, but they're very uncompetitive, like, so yeah, you're probably not going to get funded unless everyone else gets like disqualified or whatever.
And we're still waiting on the full rulemaking for the reports back. So like the last one here, project most recent moderate income housing plan score was a 3 or higher. So maybe
they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, so there's no scoring now. It's either you are eligible or you are not for state transportation dollars. So your moderate income housing, it's a pass fail. So that one we know needs to be updated. But we don't have, I mean, there's not a lot of time in the meeting left, but we also don't have all the rulemaking for how this should go. So should we maybe have like a staff memo? And then as I think before August, we're going to know more about how DWS is going to review these moderate income housing plans. And then we could come with some staff recommendations for revising this particular criteria.
So that is just something to keep on the back burner. I will update you in August. There's a couple other things that I think we should talk about, but there is one thing that I'd like to kind of talk about right now so I can get started on it if it's something that you guys would like me to move forward with, and that is the criteria number 10, which we also have talked about briefly in through the lens of economic development and where our priorities are. And again, as I mentioned, our 5-year consolidated plan needs updated this next upcoming year. So I want to get your guys' feedback on how you think you would like to move forward with updating all of your community's regional priorities. Is this order still reflective of your priorities in order? And depending your guys' direction, I'd like to kind of move forward with going out to communities, maybe starting from the COGS and letting the members of your COGS kind of trickle down the information, and a really short survey that asks about, you know, what your priorities are, and have them send them out to our communities. You know, we don't have that many eligible communities for CDBG. It's like 23 or something like that. So it wouldn't be that much of a push to send a short survey out to all those 23 communities, have them prioritize what their priorities are in order, and use that to inform and update to our rating and ranking as well as the consolidated plan.
You'd want that back by August?
No, but I'd want to get started, so I give people plenty of ample time to provide feedback.
I like that idea.
Okay. Perfect. So that's kind of just the main one that's pressing to start getting working on right now, so that I can, again, give people ample time. I can, you know, it'll take some time to get on the COG agendas and wait for those COGs to take place and then get the survey sent out and everything like that. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. I'll have an update for you in August.
So the way I'm reading this, the public infrastructure holds a higher priority than increasing the tax base, correct? That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that we're okay with that order?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're asking.
Okay. Yep.
Just clarify. Okay.
And I want to make sure that's reflected, you know, in all of our communities that we serve.
And this was a few years ago that economic development question was ranked higher on regional priorities than it has been in the last couple of years. So I think
it was just last year we changed it.
Was it? Okay, mm-hmm. So the discussion about the revolving loan fund and investing in small business and economic development enhancement made more sense in the context of that being the regional priority. Which the survey will be interesting, because maybe those local communities will come back and say that is our priority, and then this body can consider public feedback and how you want to potentially amend the regional project priorities.
Was that all you had?
That's all we've got time for, I think. So I think we'll definitely have to touch again on this in August, as well as the revolving loan fund.
Hey, when is the workshop?
October.
October. Okay.
Yep. So here's your program calendar that has kind of a step by step of all the requirements.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry for taking.
So we're going to talk about this in August, right?
Yes.
Okay.
August 20th.
Yes.
Very well organized.
Here, or are you moving again?
We're never moving again.
Yeah, right. I think we sold our souls when we moved.
You sold the building?
The building is sold.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually good. Closed and done. Yep.
Good.
And then one of our members, she's West Valley.
I believe that's it.
Thanks, Rochelle.
She had a nonprofit.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.